Well, I don't feel like talking anymore. I sort of feel so at peace. I just want to sit in God's presence. But I do know that God has a word to say to us this morning as well. And I'm actually really excited about the message this morning. This is a message that I've had in my heart and in my head for a little while now, and I've been waiting for an opportunity to preach it. So you're going to cop it this morning. It's good. It's good. So there we go. And so the title of this morning's message is called How to Be Happy, Saved and Free. It's a good title, isn't it? But before I get into it, I need to explain where this came from. Has anyone here ever heard Major Stephen Court speak? Oh, you have. Wow. Okay, so there's one person that thinks they have. Anyway, Major Stephen Court, he preached at a big youth conference in Adelaide when I was a teenager, and God totally transformed my life during that time. And I remember, you know, Steve Court, he's one of these guys, he's a larger-than-life sort of personality, if you wanted to say it like that. Always very loud, and always has something to say or to praise God for or to pray or... great guy. Actually, he's probably listening to this podcast on the internet. On the count of three, can you all say, hello, Major Steve, just in case he is listening. Can we do that? On the count of three. One, two, three.
Hello, Major Steve.
There we go. He's in Canada now. And so I wonder if he'll listen. We'll see. We'll see. Okay. So, Major Steve, the first time I got to meet him, so I saw him at this camp. But then at a later date, he actually got transferred from Canada to Australia. And when I found out, I thought, okay, I've got to get him to be my mentor because I want to be just like him. And so I went around to his house after arranging a visit. And his son came to the door. And he showed me, look, I've lost a tooth. I thought, oh, wow. And I said to him, I said, oh, has the tooth fairy come? And then Steve goes, tooth fairy? More like tooth demon. I'm like, whoa, oh no. And he was joking around, all that sort of thing. But that got me a little bit unsettled. Later on that day, I was playing chess with his son. And I won. I was trying to take it easy, but I still won. And his son got really upset. So I said, oh, you know, don't worry about it. I said, I probably just got lucky. He goes, luck? Luck's for pagans. I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, and so this family just have like all these one-liners that are just like really sharp and pointed. And most of the time, they're pointed in a fun sort of way. But they do have a bit of a underlying truth to them. One of the ones that I really like, though, is when you go up to him and say, how are you? He will say, happy, saved, and free. Have you ever heard that term before? I'm happy, saved, and free. And so in my life, in my ministry, though, I've seen that God desperately wants all of us to be happy, saved, and free. That's good news, isn't it? He wants us to be happy, saved, and free. But sadly, there's lots of people who are not. Not just outside of the walls, but even in the church. And when I say church, I mean in the body of Christ. There's lots of people who are not happy. There are lots of people who are not saved. And there are lots of people who are not free. They're in bondage, maybe to fear, bondage to what other people say about them. They get their self-worth from other people. They're in bondage to their pain, to their past, to their hurt. They're in bondage, okay? And so this was bugging me for a little while. And so I had a bit of a pray, and God gave me 4 points of how you can be happy, saved, and free. Okay, so we have a 4-point sermon, not a 3-point sermon. Point one, stop trying. Turn to the person next to you and say, stop trying. Don't do anything, just stop trying. Stop trying. It says, to be happy, saved, and free, Christian, you really need to stop trying. People spend so much time trying to be good, trying to work on their character, trying to work on their faults. But here's the thing, your work will never get you into God's good books. Even if you're really good, it simply won't help. So stop trying. One of my friends in Melbourne, his name is Mitch, and he taught me how to be cool. I'm not saying I'm cool, not by any stretch of the imagination. But Mitch was... I loved spending time with Mitch because he actually was really cool. And he would rock up to all these different things wearing silly things. And, you know, he would do outrageous things and everyone loved him. Like, he was just one of those sort of guys. But the reason why was because he didn't care. He didn't care about anyone else. He wasn't trying to impress anyone. I don't know if you've heard the term a tryhard. Well, here's a tryhard. Have you heard that? And they're talking about people who try really hard to be cool or really hard to be accepted or something like that. And but the gospel says, stop trying. Don't even bother. You know, in the big picture of religion, of Christianity, God gave the people of God the law. And the law was there just to show them that you cannot be God. You cannot be holy on your own. You need me. You need a savior. That was what the law was for. And so instead of the law, Jesus has now given us the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit will come into you and give you joy and give you peace. He will give you the fruit of the Spirit. You don't have to try. Holy Spirit does that. That is God's work. So we need to stop trying. Another Steve Court story. I was at a training college for a review, and I'd filled out most of the form, but there was one part that I hadn't filled out, and so I just sort of wrote down what I thought they'd like to hear. Bad mistake. And so walked in, and through this review, it was about goals. And so my first goals, they were all good, and I needed one more. And so I put down, I'm going to work on my patience. So I had Steve Court in front of me, and a guy, and a lady on my right. And I said, okay, I'm going to work on my patience. And I thought, they'll love that. Well, this is going to be good. And Steve blasted me. He said, what? You're going to work on your patience? He goes, what's Holy Spirit's job then? What, you're not going to let God do his work? And he just started to tirade me. And I thought, oh, I knew that. It's not my work. It's God's. And so God really reminds us that it is not your work to be done. So stop trying. Turn to your neighbor and say, stop trying. If you want some scripture to back this up, Romans chapter 7, it's this really depressing passage in Romans 7. It says, all the things I want to do, I can't do. And all the things I don't want to do, I end up doing. And it's like, I'm trapped. I'm in bondage. I can't get out of here. But right at the end and at the beginning of chapter 8, it says, who can save me from this body of death? Praise God, Jesus Christ can. And so we're not to stay as a Romans 7 Christian, trapped in, oh, I want to do this, but I can't. And we have to stop trying. That's the first thing to do. Stop trying. Okay, point two, give up. Turn to the person next to you and say, give up. Give up. When I'm at home and I'm trying to do, you know, little fidgety sort of things, it might be maybe putting a key on a key ring. Well, fidgetier, more fidgety than that. You know, and I'm there and I'm like, I just can't do it. I get all stressed out. I'm huffing and puffing and I just throw it away. I give up. I give it to Sarah. Oh, I just give up. I can't do it. And really, God wants us to give up as well. This is what it says. Once you have stopped trying and you've realized that your work won't actually get you happy, saved, or free, you need to totally give up. But what do you give up? Give up any idea that you are good on your own, that you are making life work, and that you have the capacity within yourself to be happy, saved, and free. Give up your sin, give up your issues, and give up anything that even looks like it may be from the kingdom of darkness. We need to give up our sin, our selfishness, our self-righteousness, and our substitutes. What does that mean? So a substitute is something that's in place of, isn't it? Jesus said, I have come to give life and life to the full. But so often we try to find life from other people or other places. The classic example is alcohol or drugs. People try to find some peace or try to find some escape by going to alcohol or drugs. And that just makes life worse, doesn't it? It doesn't actually work. But I think most people have a substitute. Sometimes it might be family. We've been talking about how good family is this morning. And family is a good thing, but if that is everything, then you're in trouble, because family, sadly, isn't around forever, and they will let you down from time to time. It's a substitute. We all have substitutes. It might be eating, it might be sleeping, it might be running away, it might be any number of things may be your substitute, and you need to give it up. Give it up. You see, excuse me, in the church, we call this repentance, giving up. when I was doing that thing that didn't work, I changed my mind, didn't I? I said, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. I have changed my mind. I'm not going to do that anymore. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to give up. He wants us to give up the stuff that is bad. It's not like, you know, give up the stuff that isn't working. Give up the stuff that is not from God, the stuff that is not holy and righteous, the stuff that is not going to set you free. You need to give it up. You need to give up looking for these other ways to be saved and happy and free, because Jesus does that. In Mark 8:34, can someone look up Mark chapter 8, verse 34 for me? Someone like to read that out, please? Is it possible to get the next verse as well? For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What a great verse, isn't it? What a great verse. It's talking about giving up. Give up. In Romans 12, it says that we have to be a living sacrifice. We're supposed to be a people that are always given up to God. That we just give up. Sounds easy, doesn't it? Sort of sounds lazy. I almost called this sermon the lazy gospel, but we'll see. Anyway, let's keep going. Point three is get someone else to do it. Turn to the person next to you and say, get someone else to do it. So then you really got to stop trying, give up, and get someone else to do it for you. When I've had a really busy day, or maybe I'm just really tired, or I'm having a lazy day sort of thing at home. Perfect example. When I've had a really big meal and I'm sitting on the couch and I don't want to move, the remote control might be right next to me. Sarah, can you turn up the TV? She's like, the remote control's right there. I can't move. I get her to do it for me. No, she doesn't do it. I'm still working on her. Anyway, get someone else to do it. It sounds lazy, doesn't it? You don't actually have to do it. Get someone else to do it. But this is what it says. Since you cannot be happy, saved, and free on your own, you need to get someone else to do it for you. Who could we get? I know. Jesus. Did you know that Jesus died and rose again 2,000 years ago and said, "It is done"? Well, it is. Jesus did everything necessary for you to be happy, saved, and free. He did it for you. Accept the reality that he did it for you. We need to get someone else to do it for us. We need to accept the reality that it is done. That's what Jesus said when he was on the cross. Just before he died, he said, "It is done. It is finished. Jesus has done the work. You don't need to do it. You can get someone else to do it for you." I might have shared this analogy before, but there was a man who took his family from London to New York on a ship. And because they were quite a poor family, they decided to pack their lunch and tea. So they had all these sandwiches. And for days and days on this voyage, they were eating sandwiches. Anyway, on the last night, the dad thought, I'm going to spoil my family. I'm going to take them up to the upper deck. We are going to feast. We are going to stuff our faces with a five-course meal. We're going to eat everything. We're going to try and eat them out. We're going to eat as much as we possibly can to get the most out of this. And so they're up there and they're eating. They're having a great time. And the dad looks around and tries to find someone to pay. And he goes over to the captain and says, "Oh, captain, we've just eaten here. And, you know, I brought my family up because we've been eating sandwiches and I just wanted to treat them. How much do we owe you?" And the captain looked at him strangely and thought, "Are you crazy?" He said, "It's been paid for. That came along with your tickets." And often as Christians, we're just like that. We don't actually realize that it is done. We don't realize that Jesus has dealt with your sin. We don't realize that he has dealt with everything that you need to be free and to be happy. He did it. It's done. Someone else did it for you. You don't actually have to be good anymore. When I say you don't have to be good, I mean you don't have to be good to earn salvation. You don't have to be good to get anything from God. You just need to come to him and accept it. You need to stop trying. You need to give it up. And you need to allow God to do the work in you. Romans 5 verse 8 is the classic verse on this. It says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't while you were being good, while you were going to church, while you were repenting and believing, while you did anything worthwhile. No, while you were a sinner, Christ died for you. Jesus started it off. He has done it. It is finished. But we need to accept it. We need to walk in the reality of the cross. And we do that by faith, by believing. Just like those people on the ship, their meal was paid for, wasn't it? But they decided, they chose not to actually do it. They could have been eating like that every day because it was paid for, but they didn't. And it saddens me to see Christians who are not happy, who are not saved, and who are not free, because I realize that Jesus has done everything needed for us to be happy, saved, and free. Isn't that amazing? I love that. Let's have a look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. I love this verse. Would someone like to read it out for me when you grab it? Wow. His divine power has given us a little bit of what we need for life. No. He's given us most. No. He's given us everything we need. Turn to the person next to you and say, he's given us everything we need. Everything we need for life and godliness. What an amazing promise. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. So let's recap the last three points that I had. What was the first one? Stop trying. Second one. Oh, you guys are good. Third one. Get someone else to do it. And the last one is move on. Get over it. Move on. Okay, it's done. Believe that God has done it for you. When you sense yourself falling from happiness, salvation, and freedom, remember to stop trying, to give up, and to get someone else to do it. Move on, accept that it is done, and claim the promises of happiness, salvation, and freedom by faith in Jesus. Move into the kingdom of God. That's what this is talking about. Scripture is full of these sort of verses. In Hebrews chapter 12, 1-3, it tells us to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus. Not to look at the stuff that's going on around you. Look at Jesus, because Jesus has done it for you. He has provided a way for you to be happy and saved and free. That's good news, isn't it? Keep your eyes fixed on him. If you do that, you'll be able to live a godly life, a holy life, a life full of happiness and salvation and freedom. This is the gospel. When Jesus came, he didn't just come talking about sin. He actually healed the sick. He hung out with people that the world didn't like. He hung out with the sinners. He hung out with anyone. He cared about the whole of a person. He hasn't changed. He cares about the whole of you. He wants you to be happy and saved and free. That's good news, isn't it? I think it is. William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, had a quote that says, "Our consecration must keep in step with God's revelation." A couple of big words there. Let's put it into a more contemporary understanding. He says, "Our dedication to God must keep in step with what God reveals to us." What it means is this: in that step, give up. In that step, give up, or even stop trying. God will show us the things that he wants us to give up. He will show us the things that he wants us to stop trying, to stop working for. And we may deal with that yesterday or today, but tomorrow is a different day. And tomorrow will bring its challenges of its own, won't it? You know, you can't just rely on what you did a year ago, 9 months ago, 5 years ago, 50 years ago. You need to have a constant, everyday relationship with God. And so what William Booth was saying, that as God reveals, as God shows you things in your life that you need to give up, you need to. You need to keep in step with what he's showing you. And as he continues to show you things, you need to continue to work on it. You need to continue to stop trying. You need to continue to give up. You need to continue to get someone else to do it for you. And you need to continue to move on. So let's go through all these steps one more time. Step one.
Stop trying.
Step two.
Give up.
Step three.
Get
and step four. Wow. Okay, now, let's apply this a little bit more. We're talking about tell the world, aren't we? We want to tell the world the good news of Jesus. Do you think that your friends or your family or the people that you know that may not know God yet would actually enjoy this message? I think they would. Because it's saying you don't have to become like us to be saved. Actually, come to Jesus. He's done it for you and he'll sort you out. I love that. No, this is the gospel, that Jesus has done it for you. He has done it for us. He loved the whole world so much that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is really, really good news. Really good news. And we need to be able to share it, because this is the gospel, and this is what will change people's lives. An encounter with Jesus will change their life. It changed your guys' lives, didn't it? That's great. God changed their life. It wasn't my preaching or anything like that. It was God. God has continued to change your life. He's continued to change my life from the time I gave him my life. I'm sure many of us in here can relate to the exact same thing, that God is continuing to be at work. But maybe for some of us, we're still in bondage. Maybe for some of us, we're still trapped to our hurt, to our past, to our pain. Maybe we're trapped into thinking that we need to get our identity or our self-worth from what someone else says about us or thinks about us. Maybe we're in bondage to sin. Maybe we can't give it up. Maybe you're like that Romans 7 sort of Christian who says, I want to do this, but I can't do it. What I don't want to do, I keep ending up doing. Maybe that's you. Well, there's good news for you this morning. I want you to stop trying. I want you to give up. I want you to get someone else to do it for you, and I want you just to move on. What? It sounds very simple. But look, this is the thing. It actually is simple. And it is simply a matter of accepting what God has done for you. He has done it. He said, it is finished. 2 Peter said he has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything you need. What an amazing message. So, I have got a whole stack of these for you. So you can put it, you can take it home and you can put it up on your fridge and all that sort of thing. I think they're really cool. So that's the first thing that I've got for you. And during the altar call, I'm going to just invite you to come down and grab one of these. But I don't just want you to grab it. I actually want you to spend a bit of time in prayer saying to God, well, God, I'm going to stop trying. I'm actually going to give up now. And I'm going to allow you to do this for me. I've had enough and I want to move on. I invite you to do that this morning. And in keeping with the idea that God cares about the whole of a person, if you would like prayer for anything at all, to be saved, to be happy, to be free, to be healed, whatever, I'm happy to pray for you down here. And I'm sure there's other people in the call that would love to pray with you as well. So I'm just going to leave it open. Rhonda, would you be able to play? Actually, yeah, just Rhonda for now. Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. We're going to start by singing the song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, because it's this song that just reminds us that Jesus has done it. It is finished. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. Why? Because we've stopped trying when we're just looking at Jesus. We've actually given up when we just fix our concentration upon him. And we look at what he has done for us. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Let me pray. Then I invite you to come down to the front and grab your little piece of paper and get happy, saved and free. Jesus, we thank you that it is finished. We thank you that you have done everything needed for life and godliness. Lord, we thank you for these amazing promises that the Word of God clearly shows us. Thank you, Jesus, that in every other religion it says, you must do this, but you say, it is done. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. This morning, Lord, I pray that you would speak to every person in this hall. I pray, Lord God, that every person here would be able to leave this place happy, saved, and free. That we would no longer be under a burden that I must do this, that I'm working hard to earn it or to get it for myself, and that we would actually just give up and allow you to do it for us. Thank you for your grace. We pray that we would experience it now in Jesus' name. Amen.